Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
As families of children with complex needs continue to battle for supports for their children, one area that causes huge stress is in education and the gaps in specialised classroom access for these pupils. Now, last summer, Evelyn spent the day with one family in County Meath who were experiencing this challenge, and Evelyn O'Rourke is back with us in the studio with a follow-up to this situation for six-year-old Willow and her mother Tracy Carroll, a woman who was determined to get a school place for her daughter. And Evelyn, this morning, you bring us good news.
Yes, if you look up the word determined in the dictionary, you will find Tracy Carroll written there. And I'm just back from visiting them in their new purpose-built classroom in the grounds of the local primary school there, Boyerstown St Joseph's National School there near Navan. Now, Clare, as we know at this point, there has been lots of progress made with provision of places for children with disabilities across the country. And Tracy was determined that Willow would be part of this too. So she's set about for a while with a campaign to get a classroom for Willow. And Willow is a beautiful, smiley little girl. She has complex needs. She's non-verbal. But she's joined there in the classroom with Abby, her great friend. And they have a dedicated teacher, Geraldine, two SNAs, Orla and Sandra. And it's in the same school that her eight-year-old brother attends too. And it's a beautifully laid out classroom. It's a temporary building at the moment while they will be building on an extension. But it's really impressive, spacious, warm. And it's got this beautiful sensory room. I had to be dragged out of it. And when I arrived, they were hard at work doing the weather in class. And when I called in, so you'll get a flavour of that classroom teaching first. And then Mum Tracy will tell us a little bit more.
What's the weather like? Wait, we hide it first. Pull down the blind. Are you ready, Willow? It is sunny. It is. Good girl. Yes, you can see it. Yes, you can.
Tracy, we met during the summer.
We did.
And we spent a day together, and you stopped in the car to show me Willow's classroom, and you said in January Willow will go to school. I wasn't sure, and yet here we are, and Willow's in school.
Yeah, kind of surreal. But yeah, I knew it was going to happen, but obviously it just took time. It's absolutely amazing for everybody, for us as a family, for Willow, for her brother Noah, and also for the other kids in the school. This really is inclusion.
So Willow is wearing a school uniform. The symbol of that is so important for you and the family.
Yeah, I think people were kind of going, "You putting a uniform on?" I said, absolutely. And she has her school bag, she has her matching beaker, her lunch bag. Yeah. She's everything that I would have got for Noah going to school. So the matching hair clip. No. Yeah, it's amazing. Like the feeling of ironing her uniform the night before and laying it out the same as Noah, like it's massive. And just to take a photograph and send it to her nana. Here's Willow on her first day at school in her school uniform. But it was like Christmas Eve the night before. I couldn't sleep a wink.
The big brother, your two children are in school together.
Yeah.
For the first time.
He got to wheel her in the first day she started school. I don't think people can actually appreciate it until walking in her shoes. But, you know, they were separated in so many ways because of, you know, Willow's challenges. And he just wants his sister to have the same chance as he does. For children like Willow, they really are segregated from society because of their needs. And for Noah to walk his sister in, it's just fantastic. And it's an example for everybody else. You know, this can be done.
Certainly can. But one of the reasons that Boyerstown National School, Evelyn, was able to facilitate the new classroom was because the principal was really keen to make it work. Was that key?
Yeah, I mean, the principal here is Cathal O'Brick. He's so enthusiastic about this development for the school. And he says the impact of having Willow and Abby in their school community has been great and really wonderful to be able to include two local school children in their school community. And when I arrived into the school, it was really moving because all the children were out in the yard and Willow and Abby were there in the middle of the action. And Cathal makes the point that this has really been a positive experience for everybody. So here Principal Cathal O'Brick outlines the development impact of this new part of the school.
Good morning. Hi, Evelyn. You're very welcome to Boyerstown National School. The children have just been out for the last 20 minutes running up and down, and of course with Willow and Abby in the yard. They've been having great fun interacting with the two girls.
And that really was the symbol of what you're trying to do here, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the Rainbow Room set up here for Willow and Abby, but the whole idea is that Willow and Abby are full pupils here in the school, included in our class activities that are happening, so our art and our music and our dance classes. And of course then from a reverse inclusion point of view, that our children children in senior infants and first and second class that they will come over to the Rainbow Room and that they will be included in lessons with Willow and Abby in the Rainbow Room. So look, there's massive opportunity here to, I suppose, fly the flag for inclusion in primary mainstream schools. I'm not saying that the whole project wasn't without its challenges and that, but with everyone kind of rowing in the same direction, you know, we were able to make this dream a reality.
Now, it's a daunting prospect for a principal to take on a whole new part because work is busy enough, as we know, trying to juggle all the needs. Talk to me about the process from your perspective.
Yeah, so look, it is a long process. So there was a lot of consultation. You'd like it to be more straightforward, and look, maybe on the back of this, maybe that they'll look at the process involved and they say, look, can we make this a more streamlined process for principals and for schools and for boards of management that would be considering going down this road? You know, so like it was 2019 when Tracy approached me first. Of course, I was very open to that, as were the board of management here. But, you know, we did run into some roadblocks along the way. Yeah, absolutely. I would have consulted with a few other principals around the country that had also set up for severe and profound learning difficulty children. And they did say it was long and arduous, but they did say that when you come out at the end of that process, the benefits so far outweigh any of the challenges. And I would 100% agree with that. To see the effect that the girls have had on our staff, on our pupils, on the whole school community here, it's a wonder.
That's Principal Cathal O'Brick there. Now, the teaching in that classroom is taken very seriously, Evelyn. The two girls, Willow and Abby, they follow a timetable and they have a curriculum.
They certainly do. Geraldine is their dedicated teacher too, and she has the timetable on the walls. And there's colour everywhere. I mean, everything in this classroom has been laid out and designed to help stimulate and progress the girls' development. And it's such a beautiful, positive environment. And they mix learning, you know, the curriculum stuff, with physio, the physical side, because the girls spend many hours, of course, in wheelchairs. So seeing them being stretched out on beautiful tailored bean bags with all the best equipment, you can't help but think that this maybe is a gold standard that so many families would wish for their children. So here Geraldine, the teacher, stops her teaching, interrupts it for a minute to give me a tour, and then she explains her teaching role in a little more detail.
Hi, I'm Geraldine, the class teacher here in the Rainbow Room. Welcome to Byerstown and our lovely little room.
Now, it's cold outside, but it's so cosy in here, yes. Geraldine.
Well, it has to be cosy for our little women, because the children here at the moment can't move, so we need to just have the heat kind of upped a little bit. We were just outside, two girls were out on yard, joining the other children.
And the girls are in the middle of it.
They're in the middle of it, in the thick of it, so we've done tag, so it's just been great.
Everywhere I looked, it's just beautiful artwork, and it's so bright and colourful. In here. It's not medical or clinical feeling at all, and yet it's a very practical room for the needs here.
I'll just give you an example. A timetable. All the children in the mainstream school would know, say in the morning they come in and they have maths and then they've English. Our little girls won't know that, because sometimes words, you need more meaning. So as you can see there, there's a classroom visual, tactile, and also a picture timetable. So this is reading time. Yeah. So you have the book. And
so
you also,
that's velcroed up onto a slot, and we know that reading time will be part of today's activities.
Yes.
Lots of visual cues here.
Lots of sensory.
And then the equipment is here, but it's very subtle.
Yes, and all the junior infants, before the girls came in, the mainstream kiddies got an opportunity to come in and trial out all the toys.
Lately toy show. Yeah.
So they came in, it was an opportunity to ask questions. So that was the inclusiveness. They could ask, well, you know, what if one of the girls doesn't eat by mouth? Where does she eat? They call this the hoist, the zip wire.
So we're heading out of the sensory room now, back into the classroom. And I just want to ask you, I suppose, what is the joy of this work for you?
Look, I just love it. You know, everybody's a right to an education, and I don't think there should be limitations. I think there is a classroom for children in their local area. You know, everybody's a right to an education. Often people say, well, are you going to be doing geography and history and science? And I said, absolutely, but we'll do it the Abbey and Willow style, and that's what we do. As you can see here, Byerstown have done it here.
That's teacher Geraldine. Now, during the summer, Evelyn, when you first visited Tracy and Willow, Tracy had concerns. Like, she was obviously trying to set up the classroom, but there were other issues that carers across the country faced, such as means testing for the carers' allowance. So what's the situation now?
Yeah, I mean, Tracy is delighted with the classroom and all the support they got, but she says she knows that she has this kind of energy and huge support from home, herself and her husband John, really, together to keep going. When she says other carers are understandably too frustrated, maybe too tired to keep back, battling, and she is passionate about advocating for carers. And Family Carers Ireland, the association that Tracy advocates for as well, they say they're campaigning for an urgent review of carers' allowance, resulting in the abolition of a means test or the establishment of a participation income for family carers. Tracy herself, for example, Claire, has a cut to her own carers' allowance because her husband works, which she says is unfair. Family Carers Ireland also say that they point out that there are 18,000 children on waiting lists right now for therapies, and this is, you know, having a detrimental effect on children. And Tracy says it never ends for carers. For example, because of Willow's complex medical needs, it's been decided that she needs a nurse in the classroom. But as they set that up, Tracy has to be physically on site in the school for the day when Willow is there too. So as a carer, as Tracy says, there's always a twist. But here she talks more about the achievement of opening this classroom, but also the ongoing issues facing thousands of carers across the country. And I asked her first if she was concerned for carers.
Yeah, massively concerned. Mental health is a big area around carers. Speaking to carers over Christmas who are just locked in because their child's routine is now broken because, you know, they're on school holidays, they don't get outside the door. It's 24/7. There's nobody knocking on your door offering you help.
There's a gap in the nursing support for Willow here, yeah. Right? So you're filling that gap. Talk to me about that.
Well, look, I'm delighted to be a mum. I don't like calling myself a carer, but effectively I am a carer. We really need to see a shift in how parents are treated. There's almost an embarrassment around us that we have to ask for things. I'm obviously very outspoken. I do a lot of advocacy, and I have parents coming to me, you know, asking questions or looking for support or thanking me for speaking for them, because you're buried under the weight of
the administration around the child. Yeah, is
and
the bit.
You're worried for their health. And Willow's been very, very sick. Christmas was just horrendous. She was so ill, but you just have to keep getting up every day and getting on it. But I mean, when you're dealing with everything else, you just don't have the energy for all those extras. And if it's not handed to you, sometimes just don't have the fight to get up and do it. And it can be just so damaging to a family trying to just manage day to day without having to beg someone for a school place for your child. There's no financial support either, and it's very demanding financially, mentally, physically on one person.
So
and
you then get means tested for your carers allowance?
Yeah, we do, yes. Because John works, we get part carers. And I just think we need to look at the needs of the child and assess on that basis. And the financial cost of caring for a child like Willow is huge. We don't get fuel grant, we're heating the house. We had to put in a disability bathroom for her, you know, we didn't get any grant for that.
None?
No. And that was 18,000 out of our own pocket. Money that John is trying to put by, and you actually get penalised for having savings when you apply for the carers. So no matter what you do, you're doing the wrong thing. And we're actually saving a huge burden on the state. If I was to just pack up and say, tell you what, you look after my daughter now, I'm just landing her here in hospital, how much would it cost the state to provide a 24/7 nurse? Because that's what you need. I can't leave her in a room on her own. Willow's survival depends on someone looking after her. Which is a grave thing to say, and we're so grateful that she's with us, but that's forever sitting in the back of your mind. So I can never just take anything for granted, but the state takes me for granted, knowing that I will give her the care.
She just articulates it so well, Tracy, and that situation is facing so many people who, for lots of reasons, can't, won't, don't have the energy to speak out about it, but I'm sure they're grateful to Tracy for doing what she does. Evelyn, thank you very much for bringing that to us today. A reminder that tomorrow, our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn, will be here. She's going to be speaking about sports-related concussion, what to do if you're the parent or the coach on the sideline, or if you're keeping watch on someone who's had a knock, and the implications of repeat concussion. So if you have any questions for Dr. Finn, send them in to us via email, todaycb@rte.ie.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.